So, dear friends, today is April 4th, right? 5th. April 5th. Do you remember what we studied last Tuesday? Chanting.
Oh,
and
yeah.
See? We was chanting and we have a story and discussion last Tuesday. The story of what? Story of self.
Walking
on the path, not self, letting go with self, walking on the path. Practice in such way that you have to motivate yourself every day. Mm-hmm. Not every moment of life, mm-hmm. Your breath. Don't forget that you have to work for yourself. Yes. Friend is there is to encourage you. Teacher is there is to encourage you. Help you on the path. Curse you, there's always hope that you can change yourself, you can transform yourself. You can make the mistake on your path, that's okay. We all make a mistake on the path, on our life, path of life, or path of spiritual. But we have to, when we make the mistake and recognize it, and encourage ourselves to get up and walk again. It's very important. Nick, don't let all the mistake that you make is drag you down or imprison you. And, you can grow from that. And you can be strong from your own your mistake. That's how we learn. But if we have the means, we have the teacher, we have the sangha, we have the friends, and that is supporting us. But to walk, to make an effort, then it's up to us. Up to us. If the Buddha can walk for us, then we are already enlightened, right? We are not here. If the Buddha or if the teacher can do that for us, then we are not here already. In the story that we read last week, they say the man come and observe the teaching of the Buddha every single day, every single talk, and he say, I have been observe you the community here, and I see there's few that really able to walk the whole path, but there's many people like me that we cannot able to walk the path, or can be worse on the path like that. And the Buddha telling the story, how he walked from his place, you know, to the monastery, and explain. If someone asked him, did you know how to the path walk here? And he said, yes, I know clearly. You know, in my head, I can sit here and I can imagine every corner that I, how what kind of turn that you make, right, left, where, what corner. But if someone to ask me, you explain that, and how come that person cannot walk, reach the destination, because they know the directions, but they don't walk. So the teaching of the Buddha, 2,500, 600 years, the Buddha has been enlightened, and we're still here, because we either, you know, slack or on the path. Yes, I'm for sure I'm slack on my path. That's why I'm here. I don't know what about you. Maybe you are here because of your aspirations of helping sentient beings. Right? Because you all have sentient beings in your family. You have children. You have children. You have a partner that be either good or, you know, burden you, you know. And you have an aspiration of that. I'll rescue them off the path. So sending me here is, we are here is one or other, because of our as karma, or because of our aspiration. So the Buddha, the Bodhisattva appear on the earth, Dalai Lama, because of their aspiration of helping sending me. And beside that is we are carried by our karma, the actions that we have been done in the past that brought us here. either wholesome or unwholesome actions that brought you here. So you think whether you are here because of safe sin and being, not because of rescue yourself. And the second one. In the car, every day that we, what we do is we create every day, every moment in our life is we generate our own karma, own actions through speech, through language, through intentions, and through actions, three things. Body, speech, and mind. That's three things that we generate our own karma. And every we do, we generate that. We create that every moment, every second of our life. Even sitting here. You think you are generating some kind of karma or not? In your thought, in your intentions, you already create, we generate that kind of seeds in your consciousness. Turn away, body, speech, and mind. So that's why we have to meditate on these things day by day, moment by moment in our life. And we do the same thing as the Bodhisattva, but they may be more advanced than us. That's the difference. And what we have been studying so far, if we are still in, we haven't got out on the path of meditation yet. The path of meditation is everything we do is on the path of meditation. See, many things. And because on the path of meditation, they have, under the path of meditation, have an eightfold path. And later on, we will study the six parameter on the path of meditation, under that path. But at different level, you know. When at different level, we study here. So today, under the path of meditation, we study, last several sections, we study about the first two of Eightfold Path, which is right what?
View.
Right view and right intentions, or right thought. That's the two we have been studying. And today we move further down on that path, is the right one. It's very important here. Right speech. So it's number three. Under the path of meditations, right speech. Is your correct speech. And speech here is in our ordinary life, we say it's communication. And that's what we use every day. Unless you practice noble silence. But even though you practice noble silence, externally, you don't use language, but internally, the language internally is going on. So we have to, further we have to put that into rest too. Chattering in your mind. That is the language, silent language of the mind. Mm-hmm. Chattering. When you meditate, you think that I'm practicing silence, but in your thought, in your mind, we all chatter in our head. Continuously, just like a waterfall, right? Just like a waterfall, just pulling, coming to it continuously. More than you speak, it's faster than you speak. It's like that. When you meditate, you know. And people come to me and say, oh, how come I couldn't rest when I couldn't settle my mind when I meditate? So that's the language of the mind. Silently, the chatter continuously chattering in our head. Even sit here, you seem like to be quiet. But in your head, there's thought. It's running or going in your head, in your mind. So that's why we go move further into our consciousness. See, on the appearance, it seems like nothing happening externally. But in us, there's always communication. In us, in our mind. And then when our mind doing that, it's give out a wave, frequencies. That's where you connect. This morning I was meditating and then I was writing my paper. And I say, I need some help. Alright. And then suddenly Eloise calls. Right, I just keep my thought. I say that. In my thought I say I won't call her. And then after a few minutes and she called. Wow. And she called up here the whole day today. Help me out with my paper. Write my paper. We talk and we share and she calls, you see that's the frequency, the radiation is given out, and she's able to cast that. The language of my mind is gone out. I meditate about 2 hours. I better sit down, write my paper. But I just keep delaying. I say, I better meditate. Meditate feel much better than sit down and write my paper. And keep organizing my thoughts, you see? And then, but I sit down, but my mind is not quiet. Keep thinking about my paper, how I want to organize my papers, what thought I'm going to write, you know, and that. The language of the mind. And even sometimes I just give a thought and somebody say that, oh, and then I need to call you, and they call me. Many times already it's happened like that. And I say, I know. And that is the communicate without any invisible communications. And you see that our mind is at that level, it's still crossed, but able to reach. Imagine that when your mind is quiet, how much you can communicate to the world. But here we go to talk something very specific here. So speech is the language of the mind. First you have a right thinking, right view, and right thinking. And speech is the language of right view and right thinking. It's the language of right view. It's manifest into actions. It's the expressions of right view and right thinking. So right view and right thinking is the foundations of right speech. Once you have right view and right thinking, then you're on a safe path when you speak. But when the right view and right thinking is absent, then speech, our communications will have some damage. So traditionally we have 4 different kinds of unarrived speech. And then we can use another term for loving speech. Your speech become very loving. We call anger loving or kind of speech, compassionate speech. So when you have absence of right view and right thinking, and then speech can be fall into we call speaking untruth. Or can we say lying? And when we speak untruthfully and we lost the trust among either in family or in friends relationship, right? We lost that kind of the quality of trust in our language. So we have to meditate on this. That's why we under the path of meditation. We have to meditate on our speech in our language, that the language that we use every day. So when you say, I meditate, what is the object of your meditations? The object of meditation is your language, how you speak. Right? So we have to be very specifically what we are meditating on each day. You can have different objects of meditations. And the second one is speaking with fourth tongues. I mean double speech. Or double tongue. You know what that means? Double tongue?
Yeah. White man.
Double tongues.
That's what the Indians always said. White man speak with four tongues.
Four tongues. So you come to one person and you speak differently, and you come to the other person, you speak differently. So you manipulate the language. Mm. You see?
Wow, there's a whole industry doing that.
Oh, yes. Speak. So what is the purpose of speak double tongue or fourth tongue? Why are people commit into that?
To manipulate people to get what they want. Yeah, it's one thing.
Mm-hmm. So you think in business, we're doing business, do we speak double tongue?
All the time. Oh. That was a big complaint the Native Americans had in this country back 100 years ago. Was mm-hmm. The government would make promises, they'd sign treaties,
yes.
And then they'd do something once and they then, got the land. Mm-hmm.
So this go very together. When we speak double tongue, then we lost. That means lying, right? It's part of lying. It's lying. For to gain one's own benefit, right? To gain the benefit for oneself or for the ego, the benefit of for the ego.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
And if we don't careful, we do that too. If we don't careful in our life, and we can speak. We don't mindful of our language, and then we can be spending. And we say that it's a skillful mean. So we manipulate the language. It's a skillful mean to gain benefit from that.
The difference, because I do think we can use skillful means in our speech sometimes.
Yes.
But it's partly the intention and the...
So what is the behind intentions, you know? So that's the intention is the one that costs us karma. Intention is very important. Intentions. That's what creates karma. Intention behind what you want of the language. So as a practitioner, we have to be very careful about speaking to double tongues or two tongues. So in Vietnamese we call đây là nói láo, đây là nói lưỡi hai chiều, đây là nói lời độc ác. So we use when you have hatred and you hate someone, and this is and intentionally we use the cruel language, cruelly language, to have an intention to inflict pain in mentally and physically into the persons. Called street language, you know. In Vietnamese we call ngôn ngữ của chợ búa. And when we speak cruelly, then we are the first person to inflict pain in us. Remember that. It's not that person out there. That person out there, you try to intend to inflict that cruelty in that person, but we are the first one to harvest that kind of fruit in us. Because when you speak cruelly, then you at that moment you feel pain right away in your heart. Right? In your heart. It's broken your heart. And this happened like among friends a lot. Friend, family. In high school, you know, when we're in high school we don't get trained by don't have the opportunity to be trained by the mindfulness speech. And especially between teenager.
Yeah.
Right? And especially in relationship too, if you hate your partner, or you have, and then you speak very cruelly, especially in your language, your intention is to inflict pain into the persons. That's your intention. And when you have all this, and then this will be blocking your communications, internal and externally. Internal and externally. The fourth one is we call nói lời thiêu dệt is to exaggerate. If, for example, if someone just say you, oh, I get hurt, and you say, oh, that person's very getting hurt, you know, you try to exaggerate, make it either worse, making it worse, more pain, exaggerating. accessory is cause a lot of traumatize in us. Ego talk, gossiping. So especially when we are in community, we not be careful and then we fall into this here. Exaggerating, gossiping, and we like to gossip other people's stuff. Gossiping, we feel we enjoy gossiping, we enjoy exaggerating. It's very damaging, especially in community. So it's best to be live things as it is when, you know. Because when you gossiping, you planting many unwholesome seeds in yourself and other people. And it creates a divisions in yourself and in the community. And as it is, especially in the time of the Buddha totally say if someone do not this is dividing the community. That's one of the great offense in the communities of practice. So it's one of the, I will read one of the quotes from Dogen. You know Dogen, master?
Mm-hmm.
In the Tao Dong, what is that? In Japan, Soto school in Japan. He traveled to China and then study the Zen and then bring the Zen back to Japan and form a Soto school. As one of very famous teacher, Zen teacher, and the founder of Soto school. So he was born on January 1200, in 1200. And this is what he say, canned speech means that when we see sentient beings, you arouse with the mind of compassion and offer a word of loving and caring. That's what he said, loving and caring. When you see sentient beings, you have to give rise to, when you have speech, right speech, loving speech in you, then you can generate the compassion and the caring for that sentient beings. You don't want to cast them internal divisions in themselves. Then when we don't use speech correctly, we create a lot of divisions in ourselves and in our family and in our community. So when you are not lying, then you create trust in you, in your family, in your communities. When you are not speaking double tongues or false tongues, then you create what? You generate what? Harmony. Right? Harmony in you. In your family. And in your communities. So this is a kind of negative to put this, but if you say that trusting, harmonious. And then this one you can create comforting in you, right? If you don't speak words that don't create comfort, then you create, you generate the energy of comforting in you, in you. And that's when we meditate. We try to generate the comfort in us, the easiness in us, right? And when you don't speak word that cruelly, then you must have ease with yourself, in your body, in your mind, in your body, in your mind. And when you are not too exaggerated, what are you generating? You have to know that if you don't do this, then you have to create something else. If you're not exaggerated, you create unity, right? Exaggerate, you make it, you know. You create unity in you, in your practice, in your body, in your mind. You bring your mind and body together. So that's what we meditate on. We meditate to generate a positive quality in us. Positive quality in us. And when you have the quality of harmonious, then you're at peace. If you have a quality of trust, worthy of trust, then you generate peace in yourself too. Right? Happiness in yourself. So you plant good seeds in your everyday life. You create a positive karma. It's still a karma, but positive karma that help you, support you on path. That's why you meet good friends. See, you have people trust you. People come to you. You create yibao. We call yibao, chanbao. Yibao, that means the environment around you. Become supportive. Danbao means your own persons. Yibao. So you create your personality, your own body and mind, and then you create the environment around you. So if the people, for example, if the people who are drug addicts, and they create the environment around them is like that. Friends. That's what the friends who are just addicts. Same environment. But if you are a spiritual practitioner, you go somewhere in the mountain, quiet, you know, you, even though there is no monastery, you can go someplace quiet. You create the environment around you that accommodate your need. You create tanbao or yibao, I mean, retribution. So when we practice, we cultivate all positive seeds, positive energies. And that's what the Buddha did for many, many eons of years of lifetime. He just created a positive retribution for his path. You look at the Buddha's life and the Buddha's story, and you can see that. Wherever he go, he generate what? Trust for people, right? Trust for people. Wherever he go, he bring unity to the people. Wherever he go, he bring harmonious to the people. Wherever he go, he try to pacify the people, make the people feel at ease. See, he generate all this positive quality in him because he has that already. So he just manifests that through his action, through his speech. You see, So we and speech mostly come up our mouth, right? And in Vietnamese we call kim khẩu là cái miệng. Kim khẩu that means the mouth that speaks out golden. Golden kim khẩu. Golden language. But our mouth, if we're not careful, we speak out this. It's very destructive for ourselves. And when we, if we have a lot of this quality in us, then we are very unconfident in ourselves, right? Unconfident. We feel insecure in us, in ourselves. Insecure. But we have, but if we have unity, if we have harmonious, if we have a trustworthy, then we feel much at ease with ourselves. We feel much comfort within our own heart, our own mind. Heart and own mind. So can we practice loving speech? Yes, we can. So that's what we meditate. We should meditate on that. And every whenever we try to speak, we meditate on our speech first, on our language first. But it's hard. Sometimes just in the word just come out automatically. You see, it's just like come out. It's just like it's habit. You see. But we meditate, we're able to slow down our speech. And our speech is carry the energy of its own. The energy of the language in it. Even though when you try to speak lovingly, but inside yourself, if you have a very destructive energy, then you that manifests through your speech. And when you speak out, you will feel it right away. The energy of the language. So that's why we have to generate all the quality in us first, in our body and mind first, before we speak. Speaking the truth is difficult. But speaking up the untruth, very easy. Right? We can say anything. We don't consider the consequence of it. It's very easy. And it's become very destructive. So can we speak directly with the truth? Some people say, I'm very direct, right? But when they speak the truth out, somehow it's very very hard to accept, right? But I don't think that is the truth. Because when you speak the truth out, people have to, easy to accept. So there's a lot dilemma here. He says, I speak to him the truth, but what I speak and then is inflict him a lot of pain. The Buddha is speaking, every word that's come out of the mouth of the Buddha is the truth. But you look in the sutra, nowhere they say that the word of the Buddha is inflicting pain to other people. In the sutra, you read thousands of his teachings in the sutra. I didn't find anywhere. Every time I read the sutra, I say, I look at the arrow where the Buddha really speaks something that inflicts pain to his speech too. It's very acceptable. It's very pleasant. You look in every sutra that he spoke out. But for us, they say that I speak the truth, but when the truth come out of your mouth, our mouth, that is very painful. You go home and say that to your partner, say, tonight I have to speak out the truth. Right? Lisa?
I think that's why they talk about doing in flower watering,
right? Mm-hmm.
So that we, because I think it's all in context and relative. If we are always speaking the negative truth as we feel it, mm-hmm. then it's unbalanced.
Mm-hmm.
If we can nurture all the positives as much or more than the negatives, then when a negative truth comes, then it can be heard in a way that's not as
yeah.
harmful.
Mm-hmm. So you speak the truth in a way that brings a lot of healing. It's healing because language is very powerful. You can kill someone, not gun, but by language. You can speak a word and that person, the whole life is damaged. Did you have you ever experienced that? And bring them into suicide. That's the power, that's how much power language is. But you can speak in a way that bring them a lot of healings, a lot of love. Your work coming out sometimes if we are feel full of anger, and then the word we come out and it's blocked right away. Just a few sentences block right away the communication between people and people. And our system of communication today is very complex. We have all kind of communications. You can communicate through your iPhone, kind of stuff, but sometimes the person next to you cannot communicate. Have you ever experienced that? I better communicate with the iPhone than the person. And our communications go very far, very far, very far. And why are we not able to come to each other? Because our communication is blocked. So is the skill for me is the best way is Tay say that deep listening. Listen without judge, without blame, without criticize, without condemn. It's hard. And nowadays people pay a lot of money to go to therapy so that they can listen to them. Yes, my teacher, my instructor, he said that if you come to him, he charges $150 to $200 because he's very expert in therapy. Well, the one that I have right now, the class that I have, he said that he charges $150 to $200 for 1 hour. Just to listen to you.
Wow.
Peggy?
You know, and that's where mindfulness is important because attachment, ego attachment to sometimes response to, well, so we're there and we're being mindful and compassionate when we do that, and then somebody goes, something bad that's not so, and then it's so easy then to go, oh, now I'm hurt, and then, you know, then you get back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So when the compassion and loving kindness has to be really ultimately without attachment.
Yes.
Because then you can be compassionate
mm-hmm.
and loving, and it's just like the wave comes
mm-hmm.
back and forth.
Yes.
And sometimes people, the wave is going to go back, because
mm-hmm.
they're maybe not hearing, it, but it's not personal, it's not an attachment. Be compassionate then.
Yeah. So compassionate listening or deep listening is you listen with your whole heart without any condemn or any judgment to the person who tries to speak. But it's hard. It's really hard. Because without the practice of mindfulness, without the practice of meditation, then it's really hard to listen to someone that you have an image of him, a perception of him. And mostly this happened not somewhere out there. It's happened in our family, in our communities. That's what happened. Someone you love. Because as you say, we love with attachment. We love with our own, we love our idea. We not love that person. We create an image of that person and we love that image, not that true person there. So that's why we couldn't listen to him or her. We create an image of this A, he should be like this, he should be like this. Right? And you fall in love with that image. And if he acting out against that, then you hate him. So you're not locked into two person, the person that who have his own suffering, his own pain, and his own emotions. You don't love that person, but you love something that you create in your mind. And sometimes you work the whole weekend, not enough for you 1 hour to go to the therapist. One day I have to charge.
$200.
And they just use a lot of Buddhist teaching right now, mindfulness practice now, we call mindfulness-based cognitive therapy. That's very well-known, very popular right now in the psychology field. They use mindfulness-based cognitive therapy to attend to recognize, use mindfulness to recognize all these blockages of communication or kind of illness in our person and our mind. To make money. So if you have that quality, the loving, the compassionate in you, then you just listen, maybe half an hour, the person, listen to that person, already the process of healing already take place. The door of communication is open. But it takes practice, it's not easy. We can speak day by, you know, a lot about this, but without the practice, we cannot get down to it. Mostly we listen with someone with some kind of pre-conception or pre-judgment in our head, in our mind. You don't say it, but the person feel. You are not there. Your mind is being occupied by the judgmental, by this criticisms, by this blaming. You do something wrong, that's why you come to me. And like that. And now you pour this on me. Right? All this toxic stuff. So sometimes you cry for help. And your partner isn't gonna listen. He listens very selfish. Because in him, he already have full of those things already. How can he listen to you? And in you, you try to listen to him, you're still full of this already, of this trash, of this garbage already. How can you listen to him or her? If you don't practice, then it's really hard. Because all of us, we got a lot of junk in us. We generate for ourselves. We generate for ourselves. So to be truly to listen to someone, you have to empty your own junk. It's hard. No, it's to come back. You know, you just empty it out and it's full again. It's very hard.
Magic.
You don't know where it's come from, but it's just come back, you know. So in Buddhist practice, we have the Buddhist sattva, what? A great deep listening, kwanyin. Kwanam, kwan, I mean he looked deeply. Kwan, I mean to contemplate and look deeply. And and hear the sound of crying of the world, of all sentient beings. So when you're able to listen to someone, you have to be look deeply, understand yourself. First, you have to understand yourself first. Without understand yourself, then it's hard to listen to other. Without listening to yourself, then it's really hard to listen to someone, right? So you have to have a technique. You have to have skills, and in order to listen, you have to be very skillful. In Buddhism, we have the word skillful mean. You have to be very skillful in your language when you speak out, skillful in your thinking. So when you listen, you don't exaggerate what are you listening to. Sometimes we listen, but we have a lot of internal thoughts that are exaggerating. And especially the preconceptions of that person. We have some kind of notion about perceptions, pre-perception of that person already. That in the past that he or she had done something, and that image always blocked you. You don't allow yourself space. You know, now even now, she or he had been transformed, had been different, but that image is still there. And it's blocking your communications, right? Blocking your communications. Mm-hmm.
How do you practice right speech when, like without ego and such, when you're like speaking up for, say, something you're believing in,
mm-hmm.
and you're talking to somebody about that? How do you practice that without an ego?
Thus, you have to practice the non-attachment. Because when you speak of the ego, we always attach to our own idea. We have a pre-attachment to the idea already. Even when we say, buông bỏ những cái quan niệm, that the notion that you have, are you attached to that? And that behind that attachment is the ego. So the ego have to hold on something, to hold on to that that idea or that belief. And then we always get stuck into this, get caught into this here. Very easy, get caught into this. Even though you practice Catholic or Christianity or Buddhism, we always attach to that. If someone will say something bad about Buddhist practice or bad about Christianity, and inside of you is stirring up already, and then because you got caught into that, into your own belief, in your own dogmatics. So you have to, the teachings and all that is the Buddha says as a raft that carrying you. You have to know that as a raft. Later on, we will read the teaching on the how to catch the snake. Better way to cast a snake. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tonight we'll read that.
I remember when I was working on the Obama campaign in 2008, and I didn't want to get too attached to the outcome, to what was going, you know, with the election. And so my focus was to put my energy out there in a way that was positive, that was building connection with people, that was listening to people, and I was making phone calls, and not get, you know, I was sharing my beliefs,
mm-hmm.
but not getting too hung up on them changing or them, you know, saying, but just really listening and trying to build the kind of connections that I think we want in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something I really liked about the campaign, because I felt like I could do it in that way, just emphasizing that kind of thing. And but then that was a way for me to talk about it, but not get like all tense about, you gotta believe this too or something, or and being open to my beliefs changing as well.
Yes, thank you, Lisa. So whenever you, even though you work for the truth, but sometimes we get caught by the truth, because we grasp on that truth and holding on to that truth, even that is the truth, but something that we believe is truth, and sometimes we get caught into that. And yet when we get caught into that, we will violate some of this here. We will fall into this kind of trap somehow or another. I remember when I was in California, and you know, I was studying with Tay in Pemberton, and I was there, and a lot of things, negative things, was talking about Tay, you know, and if and they know that I'm studying with Tay, and they speak in front of me, so that whether I get in their trap or not trap, I get caught into their trap. That's it. Whatever you want to say, you have the right to say. I don't have to get caught into your, what you say, you know. You might just have an image of him, a perception of him, of your jealousies. Mostly jealous of your own ignorance. Have you exposed him? But if not, we can get upset if someone to say some negative thing about the person that you've been studying, the person that you've been trust, the person that you have been your true teacher. And then if someone was talk negatively about him, then how do you feel about that? You get caught into that feeling right away. Emotionally, right? Very easy to get caught. So the practice is the way that you open your view, you open yourself, don't get caught of anything. Doesn't matter the truth, we are caught, you still get caught. So you have to practice like a drop of water fall on the lotus leaf. Never, do you ever see the lotus leaf? That the rain coming down, and then it's never, and just keep falling. It's never get caught into the leaf, or banana leaf. You know, you just put the water in, the water just, you know, get off the banana leaf or the lotus leaf. So you have to practice something like that. Mm-hmm.
That to me is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone for a certain length of time, and they act a certain way, and then something happens, and you have no idea what happened, and they behave differently,
mm-hmm.
and you can't figure it out, and they won't tell, you know, they won't tell you,
mm-hmm.
and so it's hard. How do you protect yourself?
So you cannot change that person, right? You cannot change internally. You cannot change that person. But you can have, this depends on your attitude toward that person, right? So that person is doing that, it's react against you so that you can get caught in his trap.
Mm.
See? So your practice is able to recognize that. I know you are laying the trap down there. For me. If you are not skillful, you fall in his trap right away.
Mm.
Or I catch you easily. You get caught in my trap. That's why people just lay out a trap for you to step in. So that's kind of trap. Many of us fall into that. Because you are not have internal, you are not strong. You are not have clarity in yourself.
Mm.
You can be easily go, but you say, I know the trap that you play now there. as a monk, I have a lot, this kind of trouble come to me a lot. They just lay out a trap for us to fall. So, and that movement is asking you how strong is your practice? How strong is you understand yourself? So you don't get pulled by that person. Every moment, we got caught by it. Things just come and get caught right away. So that means your practice is not very stable yet. So I have to go back and look at our practice. You have been moving by this external trap in us. And it says something about us when you get caught into that. So more is up to us. Like, you know, all the teachers, the more you be highest on the, you know, like on the stage, the more you get a lot of trap like that out there. You blow by the winds. You know, the more the wind, you know, the more you go further up the mountain. So whichever tree that go higher, then is we see a lot of target and a lot of wind. The more famous you are, you will be like that. So don't get caught. Practice is to recognize and go back here and communicate with your own body and your own mind. Here's right speech is about communications. How are you communicate with your body and your mind? So you don't get caught the things around you. We all have different kind of trap or lays out there for us.
Okay. Becky? Well, but also that I take refuge is really helpful. Take refuge, you know, the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. Those times, and sometimes not, you know, being hard on yourself if you're not totally able to, you know, evolve past whatever is going on and taking refuge, that's why it's there and that's why the community is so important.
Yes. So I take refuge, that external. You have to go more internal.
Yeah.
What you truly take refuge? You truly take refuge in the Buddha, not out there, not a golden status or anything, but taking refuge in the quality of your own.
Right.
See, your own. I take refuge in my confidence quality. That's why you're taking refuge. That the Buddha have that fully, completely have that, but you are having that in your own as a potential. So you go back and take refuge into that. That's the thing. I take refuge in the Buddha, in the quality of the Buddha, in me, the quality of clarity, the quality of solidity, the quality of trustworthy in me. That's the tool, taking refuge. And I take refuge in my own communications. My communications, the energy of communications. And communication here is the energy of healing. You know how to communicate with your body and your mind. And once you do that, the people around you, it's easy to communicate. You have to communicate with your body and your mind first. If your body is one way and your mind is one way, then it's really hard to bring you into unity. Unity. The unity of the body and the mind. And that's how we communicate. And when we have that communication in us, wherever you go, you can communicate with anyone. You communicate with Buddha. You communicate with Bodhisattva. And that is the protecting energy. You've been protected by that energy. And once you have that energy and quality in you, then you have a mutual understanding between your body and your mind with the people. It's called mutual understanding. Mutual loving. Mutual loving. So when you have mutual loving, you have mutual understanding, then you have the language, the healing language, the language of healing. Because our language can create destructive, destroy, damage. But on the other side, the language can be a language of healing, the language of love, the language of acceptance, right? The language of non-violence, And our language sometimes is very violent too. Violence language. When you have, when we have the violent language within us, then we create a lot of damage. Whatever word does earth to our mouth is damaging, right? Damaging. But underlying all this, you have to bring in the mindfulness. Mindfulness practice. So when our body and our mind is not communicates, then we create many language that hate is a language. It's one way of expressing that. Hate language. You hate and then you express out, you utter out the language of hate, hatred. And all this is originally in us. It's from us, in us. It's not somewhere out there. So when you practice meditation, is to come back and look at all this, contemplate all this. Meditation is to come back and look really deep into the our way of communications, our way of using language. And especially when you speak the language of hatred to children, and you create a lot of destruction for the children. So as a mom, as a dad, or as friend, it's very important. Especially if you have young children, you use this destructive language, and you create, you plant a lot of seeds of the children to grow up, and they are very violent in their language, in their body, in their mind. And we all have children, have grandchildren, have nephews, nieces. Sort of where we have to be very careful with our ways of using language, our ways of communication. You either have friend or the way that you communicate, you either have friend or you have enemy. But it's all up to us. So especially in family, in communities, it's very important to be mindful of our language. Sometimes we think that what we speak is bring harmony, but sometimes it's do the opposite. So meditate on your communications. Whether you have peace or not is very much depend on your communications. Because sometimes you know when it's the time to be silent. It's very important. And you know when it's the time to speak. Because silence allows you to look deeply into your feelings, into your thinking. So you don't speak out words. You don't let the language run your communication. See, normally we do it as a mechanical, as an automatic. So meditation is very important. Meditation is allow you to look deeply into your language and yourself, your feelings, your body, and your mind. Meditation allow you to get in touch with your own body and your own mind. Imagine that if your body and your mind is chaotic, then what you will produce? So it's best sometimes to practice silence, noble silence. Yes, yeah, it's best because silence helps you to look deeply in yourself. Yeah. Even though you're silent, but you know, you have a uttering, you know, like a jarring in you. That kind of sharing, that means we have a lot of things going on. But you have to know when to silence and when to not. That's the important thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when is the time that needs you to speak and be silent. And the time that needs you to be silent and speak, then you... And then when you do that, you know how to listen to. Listen here is not listen to others, something outside, but listen to your own body and own mind. Have you ever practiced listening to your body and your mind? Yeah, we so much busy, so much occupied by the external. And you're in pain and you don't listen. I listen to my body very much in my meditation, even at night. And that's why I know that my body is very much related to with the tree, the sprout, the tree. And when the spring comes, every year I know that my body very much connects, because I listen to my body, very much connecting to the nature. Because the whole winter, the tree, the grass, all sleeping. And now it's time when spring comes, and then all this try to grow. Flower, many sprout things, and that turning my body. It's kind of pain, some kind of tightness, and it's just the energy is out there. So you have to listen to your body. And when you listen to your body and you know the illness, the weakness of the body, the illness of the body. And that's, you are self-healing. You do self-healing. And that means you communicate with your body. Very. That's one way to communicate with the body. For example, if you eat the food, and then that food causes you some kind of running stomach, and right away you know that this food is not good for my body. And the next time you don't eat it, that means you communicate with your body, right? Because I'm allergic to that food, that means then the body reacts again that right away. But if we don't pay attention, you don't know what kind of, why I, you know, I just eat, but why I get so upset, my stomach is so upset, and you don't know the food that you eat. See? So that's you don't communicate with your body. So that's the body language telling you that. Right? So when, as a practitioner, you know you communicate to your body and your mind, all that. And just for example, communicate to your mind. And when you say something, and right away you feel not at ease, that means you are communicating to your mind. You listen to your mind, the language that you communicate. When the word utter out of your mouth and you feel a lot of anxiety, worry, right away. But if you don't pay attention, you don't care, then you don't communicate with your mind. So just right speech is the right communications. And it's very crucial to our community, our human communities. That's how we get around. That's how we get in touch with people. Many different ways of communication. It's not only language. Feeling is one way of communication. So that's what I want to share with you today. It's just only right speech. And meditate on that. That's the object of our meditations. Whether you have harmony or not is your speech. If your speech is harmony, then you have harmony in your body and your mind. If your speech is creating chaotic, then you right away have chaotic in your body and your mind. Anybody have any question, any confusion about speech? It's easy, not very hard, but the thing is hard when you put it out into the practice. That's the crucial things. Crucial thing. And your way of can you look at somebody is the way of communication. It's kind of speech, right? Look at somebody, and your eyes is the gate to communication too, right? So you can look deep and say many ways of communications. The language of the eyes. When you have a romantic, the eyes different. Lisa.
My kids and I were watching a video we saw posted on Jonathan Cardozo, for those of you who know him, his Facebook page. He had put up have you heard of the flash mobs that do stuff? And so this one, somebody, I think it was in Montreal, somebody kneeled down and right next to a recycling bin put a plastic bottle. And then they just filmed people just walking by, nobody stopping to pick up. the plastic bottle, and you know, a couple of minutes, finally this woman stopped and put it in, and then the whole crowd erupted with applause, put on these red hats and applauded her, and it was this wonderful, like, cathartic kind of thing for all the little things we do that don't seem to count for anything, and in this one instance, it was this beautiful thing of everybody just applauding, and she was just so shocked. Like, oh my God. But it was just a wonderful way of communicating and together and community and
thank you. Yeah, thank you, Lisa, to say that. So thank you, everyone. So so please put that into your everyday practice. Grace speech is bring us a lot of happiness if we practice correctly, and with each other, with our family, with our society. And especially, it's come back to our own body and our own mind. You know, whatever we practice. Okay, so we will stop here, and so we can do our practice, right speech right away into our practice. When you meditation, if a lot of chattering in your heart, in your mind, then you know that how to work with that. Okay, so I invite to set the bell so that we can conclude here. Thank you.